Will it be Silver Stone or Silver Dunn? Will Sutton win it this weekend? And will Tom Ingram be taking the silver medal as Ash takes the gold? This is the Silver Stone 2023 preview.
Hello and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast. We have been on a little break from the last round out, but we've got two rounds left this year. And Russ, you join me once again.
Correct. And before we go any further with the preview tonight, literally just before we came on air, the very sad news broke that former touring car driver and TCR competitor Dan Kirby has tragically died. So our thoughts and thoughts and feelings are completely with his friends and family. It's a very difficult time. If you know anybody who is struggling, any friend, ask if they're okay and ask them again. And we'll put some links in the description at the end of this video for where you can go if you need any help or advice around this subject.
Yeah, it's not the way we wanted to start, but our thoughts and feelings are out there. Moving on to Silverstone this weekend, you will be going with your dad. I will be at home on the sofa keeping everyone updated with the events as they go on throughout the day. Are you looking forward to it?
I'm looking forward to going out with my dad. We always try and do one race a year together, and this year, yep, at Silverstone. You know my thoughts on the track. It's not my favourite. I think it's rubbish. I think it really is rubbish. And I'm also quite cheesed off that I'm paying nearly 40 quid to go and watch six corners. If you're going to charge that kind of money, I think you've got to put a bigger circuit on. But there we go. It's my usual gripe with Silverstone. I don't think it's going to be a particularly exciting weekend. Just going to get the positivity going straight off the off. But we have got some news before we go into the Silverstone preview, and that is that, can you hear the music in the background there? That's the team hard merry-go-round in full effect.
Merry-go-round, yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to kick us off, mate?
Bobby Thompson is back. However, we don't know who for. If it's for anyone, it could well be in that sixth seat. It could be in place of Lloyd. There are rumours of. It could be any other driver that may not have enough budget to finish off the season. It looks like there's been bits and pieces going on in the background between him and Team Hard to try and get the budget together to finish off these penultimate two rounds of the season. But you must be excited to see him back, surely.
Oh, yeah, I am. I just think, unfortunately, it's just getting farcical, isn't it? I'm really happy to see Bobby on the grid. We've said before, in the past, we were the best drivers on the grid. Absolutely don't disagree with that. Yep. I don't know who it's for, because my understanding is you can only change one license once per year. That's my understanding in terms of a driver. And obviously with Nick, they've already changed it to Rob. With Bobby, they've already changed it to Kreese. So does he go, does Kreese no longer run and he's taken back over that license? Obviously, Jade was changed to Dexter, but that might not have counted because that was mutually terminated, but I don't know.
De Leon.
You're absolutely right, De Leon. So that, where does that leave us? Does that leave us with Boutel not running, or does that leave us with Lloyd not running? We know Lloyd was struggling for sponsorship. He's been putting out posts about trying to drum up some sponsorship for the last two rounds.
Yep.
And the thing is, if it was for Nick, or is effectively Nick, why does it not just say that in the press releases? Why does it not just say that? This is the really weird thing, and this is what is sort of in my head, is that, well, who is it then? Why are they not said? And that's what's making me wonder, is it actually Lloyd?
It is really confusing and unclear, and the whole thing of Team Hard this year and the bits that have been going on, they were really clear with what went on with Bobby not being able to compete what was said to be the rest of the season in his car that he started the year in. That was all fair and good. We understood that that was going to be a budget issue. Then there was nothing mentioned about why Nick had to pull out. And the fact that Rob Huff turned up for one event, okay, he was busy for the next one. That clashed. That's fair enough. They only ran the five cars that weekend. But then there were rumours that he was going to be back for these final two rounds, which may still well be true. We've had no confirmation either way on that. So it'll be interesting to see who actually turns up on Friday this week, and who, again, will turn up at Brands, because I can't say either way to whether it will or won't change before then as well.
No, this is the thing. All year it's been a little bit smoke and mirrors. We never had a full story at any point. Nope. I think that some of Edward's comments have been quite masking in some ways. If you read between the lines, I think that, yeah, it's just a really, it's just not gone well. And I think that's been the problem of running six cars. Obviously, look, you're right. The headline is Bobby's back, and I'm really happy because he's been the best driver at Hard for the last 5 years, maybe. He's certainly been a standout driver in what, yeah. You know. But the problem, yeah, it's just that who's the next one to go? You know, I don't know. It's just, it's getting farcical. And I get it's difficult to run a touring car team at the best of times, but nobody made them run six cars. And it's, to me, it's just not a good look for the sport.
No, no, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out in these final two rounds of the season. Hopefully we can see some good performances from them starting this weekend at Silverstone. But let's get into it. What's the track going to be like this weekend, mate?
Well, as I've got to do the screen sharing, first and foremost, who do you think holds the qualifying lap record?
Ooh.
Before I put it up on the screen.
It's normally a BMW-style track, so I'm going to go Turkington.
Ha, huh, wrong.
Oh, okay. Was I right with BMW?
No, you couldn't have been more wrong, to be honest with you.
A Honda, then?
Yes, it would have been in 2020, yes.
Camish?
Correct, with a 57.3. And then the race lap record?
Let's go for Sutton.
No, it's quite left field. I wouldn't have thought of this driver.
Oh, okay, go on then.
It's Jake Hill, and I say I wouldn't have thought of him because I'd never really in my mind see, I thought, oh God, he's good at Silverstone. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, he's got a 57.5 in the race, and that was in 2022, so last year.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a, obviously we know Hill is quick, but I didn't realise he was Silverstone quick. Without any further ado of the track.
He did take a race win last year.
Yeah, but I never remember him being really quick. But obviously, he was. But as I say, six corners, 1.64 miles, race debut in 1959, complete bore fest with its three straight. It's a triangle. We're racing around a triangle. It's difficult to get, it's really difficult to get excited, only because, Sam, and I think that there's always a risk that I dive into Formula One a bit too much on this podcast, but how excited have the last few years at Silverstone been in the F1?
Yeah, I know. Even if we just switch to the short international track, I think we'd have a bit more excitement, and it'd be nice to see something different.
Yeah. I'm paying 40 quid for three straights.
Yeah, you are. But grandstands to sit in.
Yeah, well, Knock Hill had shelters to stand in, and they have more than... Yeah, you know, I don't know. Look, I get quite down on Silverstone every year, and I know I'm quite moody about it, but it's the home circuit of the UK. You know, it's a big circuit. And I just think you look at some of the other racing they have here throughout the year, how much more exciting is it? How, you know, as I say, the F1, which has largely been dull for 10 years, apart from 21, has still managed to have good races at Silverstone. And I think that is in no short part to the fact that the full circuit is brilliant. It's such a... The full circuit has everything you want as a racing driver or fan. It's got every corner, every type of corner. It's brilliant. And here we are on a track that takes less than a minute with six corners.
It does have everything. However, for a touring car circuit, I think it is just a little bit too long.
Yeah, maybe. But you, there's got to be an iteration you could run. There's not this.
Yeah, I'd expect so.
But there we go. That's my little gripe. Is there anything in particular? I mean, Copse is iconic. Copse is a good corner, but it doesn't have the same effect in touring cars as it does in other series. But it's still an iconic corner. That's probably where the main action point is going to be, isn't it?
I was going to say there and down into Brooklands and Loughfield, seeing people either dive down the outside to try and get the inside for Loughfield or driving that down the inside at Brooklands to try and get that jump. It's very much about traction zones, this circuit. Coming out of Loughfield, round to Woodcote, and then coming out of Beckett's on the Wellington Straight is going to be the main point of where normally the BMWs try and show their pace. But the BMWs haven't been that good this year. And I doubt they're going to turn up this weekend massively either.
Well, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because, as you say, they should be quite good here in some respects, but equally there's no real traction zones for them apart from the exit of Loughfield, and their BMW power engine, which was once rule supreme, is just a bit it's just a bit meh now, isn't it? It's fine, but it's nothing massively powerful anymore. I think probably Hyundai have got the most powerful engine on the grid, I would wager. And Napa's shape somehow is really working, despite the fact that saloon cars are the way to go.
Shape, chassis, setup just seem to all click this season. I can bring some excitement, though, it's the weather.
Oh, not again.
It's looking like we're going to have a good chance of rain on Sunday. Between, 40% and 62% chance of rain or coverage of rain. On the Saturday, it does look like it's going to be dry, so I'd expect to see a dry qualifying session with not too many differences. Obviously, we have, I'm pretty sure, got a shootout this weekend, which I always like to see. Brings a little bit more excitement to the Saturday. Remember, you can catch that on live on YouTube on the ITV Sport page.
Lovely little plug there. Yeah, we'll see how the qualifying goes. I said this to you about the F1, that I'm at the stage now pre-Singapore where I kind of wanted Red Bull to win everything just because take it as a season of dominance, and I kind of want Napa to take all the poles now with only two more to get. I kind of want to see the full...
Would be a hell of an achievement.
Yeah, I kind of just want to see it done. I need to have a look if it has been done before. I think it might have been done back in 2001 when the Vauxhalls were just ridiculous, but it might not have been the same Vauxhall team because there were technically two teams. So I need to go back and have a look whether that was done on a technicality, say this would be the first time it's been done. But look, as I say, I've kind of leaned into it now that we've only two rounds to go and the championship all but Sutton's anyway. I kind of want to see this dominance now just so we can say we were there when we saw Napa take 10 in a row, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. And of course, you bought the hat, so...
I did, which kept me warm tonight whilst taking the dog out.
All for them.
And of course, I have my chipped mug, which I bought as well, which is always good to have
quality. Oh dear. So looking back to last year then, winners from last year were Butcher, Hill and Ingram. Sutton took a second, fourth and sixth. Hill took a first, second and fourth. Ingram took a first, fifth and fifth. With two fastest laps though. And then Butcher took a 1-2-3.
Yeah, the toilet goes quite nicely here, doesn't it?
It does. I think we both picked up on that with our predictions that will be coming up. It seems to be a track that it goes really well at, and Butcher normally gets to this point of the season and he's feeling a little bit more racy, and we normally have a little bit more form from him.
Was it
probably not as much this season, though?
Was it last year or the year before where Cook tried to take the lead by rally crossing and got excluded from the race results for his the year before, wasn't it?
Let's have a look. Yeah, I think it was the year before because Cook had a 13th, 8th, and 6th.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So, yeah, Turkington had a shocker here last year with a non-classified 13th and a 12th, which put pay to his title hopes.
He got spun down the field, didn't he? And completely,
which this year have already disappeared without a hope.
I forgot about that. Yeah, he got spun off in race number one and just completely fell apart from there, didn't he? He got quite raggedy in the back of the field and was making error after error. Yes, I agree. I remember.
Yeah, Sheddon took a podium here, as did Morgan. But outside of that, there weren't too many big performances as such. Are you expecting much different this weekend?
I sound so negative, but the track the way it is and the season the way it has been, I just don't see anything other than Hill, Sutton and Ingram at the front, and one of those three will win at least one of the races. The other two will be on the podium or thereabouts, and Turkington will be fifth and Cook will be anywhere between sixth and tenth. You can almost write most of it now. Yeah, I think that there could be a slight surprise in the offing with the Toyota. Do I really think that it can beat Sutton, Hill or Ingram on a race one or two? No, I don't think it can. Maybe on a race three, depending on grid reversal. PMR go okay here, but I mean, they're not going to win a race. They go well, but not that well. I just say the way the season's gone, the simple answer is no. I just don't see anything other than Napa taking at least one win. and it's going to be Sutton, unless he does something quite silly. I know it's quite negative, but yeah, do you see anything surprising? I mean, you know, Ingram has to do something amazing this weekend, in my opinion. He has to win, in my mind, at these two races. I'm not sure I can see that happening.
I think coming out of Silverstone, looking at the championship standings at the moment, he probably needs to at very least, half the gap if he's got any kind of hope at Brands to taking the title. The gap's 42 points at the moment. If it's 20-odd, then I think there's still a hope for him going into Brands, knowing how good he was at Brands last year. Then that gives him that drive, that push, that momentum almost that he needs going into that final round. However, if it stays anywhere close to the 40 points that it is currently, then I think it is all but done mathematically.
Yeah, I mean, Sutton needs to leave the weekend 66 points ahead, 67 points ahead.
68 points ahead. There's 67 possible in a weekend.
Left. Okay, so he's be 67 clear to win it this weekend, which is actually only means he only has to score 27 more points than Ingram thereabouts this weekend. 25 more points than Ingram this weekend, which isn't
isn't out of the realms of possibility. But knowing how consistent Ingram is and how sensibly he normally drives, I don't think I'll quite see that happen this weekend, unless something. Okay, but abysmal happens for Ingram.
Can I just put it to you then that it could happen on the basis that Ingram has to go out this weekend, and maybe that will be where a mistake happens, or just he makes a move that he wouldn't necessarily normally make, but he has to finish, in my mind, he has to finish front of Sutton in all three races. He has to.
Yeah.
And
I think that a lot might be told from qualifying on Saturday. If Ingram can qualify first or second, and then he can get the lead on the opening couple of laps of race one, then we could see an Ingram that is that almost 2/10 quicker than anyone else, and go off and go into the distance for race one and two. He ideally, as you say, needs to take a double win this weekend. Even if Sutton finishes second, I'm not sure it's going to be enough.
No, I think the only thing Ingram might want to hold close to in some ways is that all the other Napa cars other than Sutton have had mechanical issues throughout the season. Yeah. Hyundai haven't had many mechanical issues at all.
Well done for talking about that.
I'm clutching at straws here. I mean, I'm literally reaching for anything and saying, will Sutton have mechanical problems this weekend? But it's getting to that point now, and that's the sort of thing that has to happen for Ingram to win. I don't think Sutton does win it this weekend, but I think he all but wins it this weekend. As I say, without trying to sound too depressed, I can't see anything exciting happening this weekend. I mean, can you? I mean, is there anything that I'm missing that you think, oh, actually, come on now, you know.
Well, shall we drag up a little more excitement then? Let's talk about the Jack Sears.
Yeah, that's all right.
14 points between Dobble and Watson, with Watson leading the way. And Osborne is a further 10 back from that, and then Patterson a further 6 back from that. I think Patterson at a stretch is just about in it, maybe. But the top three, I think, are going to be the three drivers that we look towards, and certainly the PMR boys. They've almost put themselves in a difficult situation, because I think if one of them was well up there, then the other one would more than happily help to try and win them that Jack Sears title. But I think the Jack Sears title is going to go down to the final race of the season.
Can I ask you a really horrible question?
Oh, no. Go on.
Who would it be a great achievement for out of those two to win it on their debut season? That's a really tough question, I appreciate.
Dobble, I think. Mainly because of the motorsport background that Watson has coming from the GT racing and in endurance sort of stuff. We know how well he can handle the conditions. We saw that at Donington at the start of the season. I think the progress and the promise that Dobble has shown throughout the season, in my mind, he's been more consistent as well. He just hasn't taken those big scores home like Watson has at times. So I think it would be more of an achievement for Dobble if he were to take home the Jack Sears title. How about you?
I only asked the question, so I don't need to give a response. I asked the question.
I've asked the question now.
Yeah, I agree with you for those reasons. I think that Watson has better, quote, pedigree in motorsport generally. Although I think that Watson has been the better driver throughout the year. But I think that Dobble has been very good as well. So, yeah, I think it would be a slightly bigger achievement for Dobble. One thing also to get excited about this weekend as well is that Caterhams are here. We have Caterhams on the grid as part of the support package. So that's good.
Yeah.
Again,
they always provide some entertainment. I like seeing the Caterhams. A single manufacturer entry or race over a weekend normally drags up some decent racing. And with those maniacs that want to drive those little go-karts, there's sure to be some action with those, almost certainly.
Yeah. Right. Shall we look at some predictions for this weekend then?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Right, let's start off with, I've got to make the technology work because, there we go. Let's see if that works, shall we? Let's start off with my general predictions. Hopefully that is working. Can you see it on the screen?
Yes, I can.
Lovely. I think we will see a 1-2 in one of the races. And for the sake of arguments and sake of the lawyers, I mean 1-2 for the same team. And for the sake of the lawyers, that does not include Jake Hill, Colin Turkington. It has to be.
Oh, okay.
Well, they're not the same team, so
I'm still part of WSR, which is what I think you were going for. But I see where you're coming from.
Napa are getting a 1-2, basically. I'm just not sure in what order. That's basically what I'm saying.
That's fine.
Toyota will score a top six in each race. I think they will be strong this weekend, and I think Collard will be quite fired up as well. I think Cook will outscore Robot, and Robot had a stinker here last time out. I know it was in a different car, but Robot's season is just starting to peter out a little bit. And I think Cook is finding some bits of the car, and he'll be keen to seal the independence title as soon as possible. And we're going to do a general prediction this weekend of how many steps will I do. I will do it through the app on my phone, and I reckon 16,000, as there's lots of seats to climb or stairs to climb. And
just to clarify on your steps, it's from when you wake up in the morning until you go to bed that night, isn't it? Not whilst you're at the track, is this?
No, so it'd be the morning. There won't be many steps from my bedroom to the car.
I was just wanting to clarify.
I think I should probably stop the app once I'm in the car on the way home, because I won't be really doing more steps related to the touring cars at that point, to be fair.
That's fine.
Okay, is it going to work? Let me get the arrow. It is. Sam's predictions. Go on then, mate, take it away.
So Sutton, I don't think will clinch the title this weekend. As we've already spoken about, that 25, 26 point gap that he needs to make up to clinch it this weekend, I think will just be out of reach. I think Ingram will either be slightly in front of him or certainly hot on his heels this weekend. However, I do think Cook will claim the independent title this weekend. He's already got a big gap out front. And unless he has a disastrous weekend, which I'm now hoping doesn't come true, then he should take that home quite easily. And then I've got all three Toyotas to score a top 10 finish across the weekend. So Butcher, Collard and Gamble for one or more races to have a finish inside the top 10. And then I think you will only step 13,500 footsteps.
Well, I think you're being incredibly disingenuous to my ability.
Forget how often you need to pop to the toilet.
Yeah, you know that. And also, of course, there are stairs to climb in the grandstands, but there we go.
There are.
Right. The predictions as a whole, then, I'm going to go for a pole for Kamish, a win for Sutton, a win for Ingram, and a win for Collard. As I said, I'm not being particularly exciting about matters. And Watson will take the Jack Sears trophy. Quite quick and easy for me on that one.
Yeah, there's not too much change from my side either. If you want to click next.
Fair enough. There we go. Take it off again.
So I think Sutton will take pole. He's just a class above when it comes to qualifying this year, and race wins to come of that, which is why I think he'll also get a race win. Butcher, we know, goes really well here. And I think last time, or his form always gets better towards the end of the season. And then Ingram needs to take at least one win this weekend if he has any hope of going into Browns with a fighting chance. And then Watson, I just have that sneaky suspicion that Watson might pull clear this weekend and Jack Sears. I still think it will be tight, but yeah, going for him.
Well, I think that pretty much sums the preview. Do you have any final thoughts ahead of the weekend's action?
Yeah, so race times this weekend. First race is at 11:30, 22 laps in that one. Second touring car race at 25 past 2. Obviously, these times are subject to change due to red flags and any other eventualities that go on throughout the day. And then the final race of the day is at 10 past 5.
What about quali?
Quali is at 25:24. It's quite an early finish actually on the Saturday. The final race of the day is the Porsche Sprint at 25:05. But yeah, have fun getting in and out of Silverstone. Normally not too bad, is it?
Oh, it is. You've not seen the news?
No.
There's big road closures. I got an alert through earlier. Let me just, for a public service announcement, just tell you what I've been told today.
Here is the traffic with Russell.
Update from Race Control. Important traffic information for BTCC. We're gearing up to welcome you to a weekend of nail-biting track action and the penultimate round of the Touring Car Championship. But first, we have an important update regarding your journey to the circuit. We've been notified... Please do.
Nail-biting. Have they not been watching the rest of the season?
Yeah, exactly that. We've been notified of planned closures on the M1 Junction 15A and the A43 Junction 15A roundabouts over the weekend. Please check your route in advance and allow for extra time for diversions. We can't wait to see you at the circuit. I bet you can't. £40 each.
not bitter at all, are you, mate?
And also, actually, while I'm on the subject of final thoughts and high horses...
Oh, hang on, let me fetch your soapbox.
What's wrong with e-tickets? I've had to download an app which stores my tickets, which is a different app to which I bought the tickets from. I had to set up two accounts, and I guarantee when we get to the track there will be no Wi-Fi and it will not work properly. I guarantee it. What is famously spotty at circuits? Mobile signal, Wi-Fi signal, G signal. I can just guarantee it's not going to work. And if it does work, I'll take that back. But I just... What is wrong with an e-ticket? It's worked at every other venue on the track we've been to. It worked in Scotland.
Oh, dearie me. That's possibly the most excitement and laughter I've had this week.
Yeah, in the touring cars.
Well, yeah. If you haven't already seen, we already have our Knockhill vlog up on YouTube. So please do go take a little watch of that and see the fun and the journey that we had to Knockhill and what we got up to during the weekend. There will also have been out by now the BTCC in Crisis short. Well, it was meant to be a 10 minutes with, but it went on a little bit longer than that because
I can't think why. Talk about from this.
Lots to talk about from this season. We let you know our views. We'd love to hear yours as well. Please do subscribe when you get the chance. Drop us a like as well. And we will, of course, be back with a review early next week if Russ hasn't forgotten his ticket or something.
Well, but there'll be a review. I won't have forgotten my ticket. It was, will I be able to get through? I'm just seeing if we've got any new 5-star reviews just before we go, because we did say we'd read them out if we had them.
Yeah.
But no new 5-star reviews, which is a shame because you could get read out on this very podcast by a very angry man. So, yeah.
And we don't even charge for it.
I know. Let us know how you get on with tickets this weekend, and let us know where you stand on the e-ticket. E-ticket or knee ticket? Let's see how we go.
I don't think having it on your knee is going to help.
I was trying to say no, but yeah, it didn't really work. I'm tired. Oh dear.
Right, we'll be back again with the review pod after the penultimate round at Silverstone.